Lord Jesus, just like we just sang in that last song, Lord, you tell us to release. And Lord, the fact is we need to constantly, Lord, release it to you. Release our lives to you, Lord. Release our worries to you, our fears. And Lord, what we're hiding at times. So Lord, I just pray that we release it to you today. We're standing in front of you right now, no one else. And Lord, you embrace us that whole time. So we just thank you, Lord, for being so merciful, so grace-filled. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Deep down when it's quiet and everyone else is in bed, do you ever think about where your life is headed? What you've done, or maybe even what you haven't done? What do you feel or think when you take time and you just pause during the day in your life? What goes through your mind when you look at where you are and maybe where you've been? I want you to think about that for a second. And then, do you ever feel stuck in that? Or striving and trying so hard, but not ever really feel like you're making any progress? Do you feel underappreciated at times? Maybe overlooked? Maybe misunderstood, underpaid? Maybe you might even feel like you're unnecessary. And oftentimes those feelings want to make us hide. Now, some people do not even go there to these questions, not because they think they have it figured out correctly, but because they are so fearful of what those answers might be. And then there are many who do reflect on their lives. And the result of that is that they struggle with these incomplete feelings and these dead-end thoughts. So we wrestle with these thoughts of, what difference does my life make? And does anyone really know me? Does anyone really truly care about me? So whatever route you take with these questions, whether you're afraid to even go there, or if you do go there often and it paralyzes you, then I have some news for all of us. God longs to show us a different picture of ourselves. And God desires to give us a view from the top, from his perspective, to help us see the meaning of our lives. So regarding these questions of self-worth and ultimate purpose, our God is directly speaking to us here in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, it's written by King David. And it's one of the most amazing psalms because it shows us that God is gently calling us out of hiding. God pursues us always. And God pursues us forever. Amen. Our hearts, our minds, our souls, they're actually inescapable from him. You cannot get away from him, even when you try. So go ahead, open up your Bibles right now to Psalm 139. There's some at the bottom of your seats in front of you. You can get there on your smartphone right now. Psalm 139, and we're going to be going over the first 16 verses. So Psalm 139, starting with verse 1. It says, O Lord, you have searched me, you have known me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you're intimately acquainted with all my ways. I love this. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain it. So let's pause for a second here. That tells us right there that God knows you and God pursues you. In these opening six verses we just read, I see it as God as a loving, fatherly detective, tracking even our most mundane activities, studying us, even when we think we're all alone. And I also picture this as God dissecting our inner world into parts, discerning what makes us tick, and knowing why we act the way we act and do the things we do and talk the way we talk. Because the fact is, he's aware of our weaknesses and our fears. He sees past my running and my hiding. He has such a complete grasp of what's going on inside and out. God knows precisely what you will say next and what you will do next. He knows it all. He knows your heart. He knows your fears. He knows your thoughts, your motives, your dreams. He understands your frustrations. He knows your past. He knows your present. God knows your future completely. He understands you. He notices what's going on around you. And he knows what's going on inside of you. And he knows what your motives are, your deep down motives. God gets you. God has you pegged better than you could ever peg yourself. Now, that sounds unnerving, doesn't it? That can be very unsettling to us personally. Because we want to think we're in control of what someone sees or doesn't see. Our culture as a whole breeds that kind of independence. Many of us want to be in control of that. So we want to say sometimes to the world, and sometimes we even want to say to God, you don't have a right to see what's going on behind my closed doors. I don't want you to know these certain things about me. I want to be able to control when that comes. But please be rest assured about something. God knows all of you, and he still loves you. He's not just putting up with you. You are a treasure to him right now, despite what you've done. God knows all of you, and he still loves you. And I realize this is so far above our human capabilities to understand that it can actually be scary at first. But when David here says in verse 5 that he has laid his hand upon him, that God has laid his hand upon him, David's referring to the Old Testament practice of bestowing a blessing on someone. So that was where the patriarch of the family, the father, would place his hands on his children, and he would speak words into their lives on who they were and what they would become. The father would speak life regarding what their place was in the family and what their future will be. This was one of the most important and cherished acts in a Hebrew family. And in the same way, our Heavenly Father bestows blessings upon us. And God marks your place in his family. And rest assured, in God's family, no one's insignificant. No one is left out. No one is ever unnecessary. God has significant and particular plans for you because you're his child. Right now and for all eternity. Don't ever doubt that. But many times, like David here, we just want to run and we just want to hide from that. David basically concludes in verse 6 that he just can't deal with this. You see that here? That it's too overwhelming. It's too out of his reach to wrap his mind around. And often our first instinct is the same as David's. Where can I hide? Where can I escape to get away from this? But may we never forget that God himself made you and God has plans for you. Praise God that he handles this information about us with grace and mercy. He longs to be gracious to us. He waits on high to have compassion for us. Verse 7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, which is hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay a hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. And the night, I love this, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. I'm going to read that again. To God, darkness and light are alike to him. Verse 13 continues. It says, for you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not even one of them. So the Lord knows what he has made in you. He knows his children. It says he knew us even before our lives began. I want you to imagine this. This is scripture now. He was singing over you before you were born. So there's no one in history that's like you. He gave you your personality. He gave you your spiritual gifts. He gave you a particular purpose that you have been set apart for. So do you see how our life has been written by God? That he has carefully mapped the details that will fill our days? There's something else though here. Do you also continue to see and hear David's fear of total exposure? And how it moved him to ponder if there was some retreat, geographically, even spiritually, that he could go off the grid and just disconnect for a while. A place where he could just hide for a while. But we see all through Scripture, God would not let David escape. So, have you ever tried to escape? Have you ever tried to hide from God? I want you to think about that. I've had someone say to me just recently, I don't hide from God, but I do hide from people. I do hide from situations. I just hide from life sometimes. Well, we must remember something about that. By hiding from people, by avoiding people, by skipping and omitting situations, by refusing tasks and plans that God has for us, then we might very well be trying to hide from Him. I found that out to be true, personally. So I want to get very real, and I want to get very personal right now. I have hit on many things over the course of my 44 years. And thankfully and mercifully, God has gently knocked on my door continually over the years. And He is more than persistent on that. I have found that God does this knocking gently, but He's also very persistent. I can't escape it. And I've really tried to be open and I've tried to be vulnerable as a Christian leader to let God work in me and through me on all of my deficiencies. And to not only acknowledge my shortcomings to myself, but also from up here, from the pulpit as well. I pray that I'm a strong yet vulnerable leader in front of you. And if you've been around New Hope Fellowship for the last about 3 years, I think you'd say that's true. And if that is true, all glory to God on that. However, there is one thing that I have kept hidden for far too long. And God gave me a picture of it recently. It's a picture He's given me a few times over the years, but He gave it to me not that long ago again. It was of an old cellar door with an old rusty iron lock on it. And there was years of dust and dirt and cobwebs all over it. And this door of mine just sits and it exists in my self-imposed darkness, in silence, untouched. But God has been commanding me to shine His light upon it. And not just between me and Him. He's been telling me to do this in front of people. And it's scary. And it's uncomfortable. And it's a very vulnerable feeling to do this. So here's what I've been hiding. I have some missing teeth in my mouth. Specifically, these missing teeth are on both sides of my front teeth. So I'm missing both of my lateral incisor teeth on both sides of my mouth. Now, I'm sure you've noticed this. It's not like I can really hide it. These teeth aren't like my back molars or my wisdom teeth or something like that. But have you also noticed I have never discussed this with you, ever? Not from the pulpit, not in private. And when I say I haven't discussed it with anyone, I really mean that. I have never really opened up and talked about it fully with my mom and dad. I haven't talked about it really with my brothers. I haven't talked about it with my sister. I basically refuse to discuss it with them. I have never discussed it with any of my close friends, ever. Truth be told, it took me about a year to even bring it up to my wife. Shortly before Chris and I got married, I talked to her about it, just a little bit. This is comical. I don't even discuss it with my dentist. I don't like to bring it up or comment on it with my very own tooth doctor in a private setting. As a kid and young adult, if anyone would ask, "What happened to your teeth?" I would tell them, "I got into a fight with my brother Roy, and he punched them out of my mouth." Now, if you would have known the Tornabene brothers back in the day, you would have believed that. That was not that far-fetched at all, trust me. But in this case, it was a lie. I would lie about it to people. And somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born without any adult lateral teeth. So the missing teeth issues there. People see it. But I pretend it's not there. And I try to ridiculously hide from it. And I hide because I'm embarrassed. And I hide because I'm humiliated. But it's so interesting that God, in his wisdom and his purposes, has specific plans for me. And that is to be up in front of people, talking and teaching and leading in his name. I know that's his will for me. But oh, how I wish I didn't have the missing teeth. I have had lots and lots of talks with God about that. But at the end of the day, I take my feelings on my teeth and my inadequacies about my teeth and my embarrassment on my teeth. And I command them all to obey Christ. And so I get up in front of people, I get up in front of you, and I try to let the Holy Spirit lead me. But the facts are this, I don't bring it up in front of people, ever. I'm hiding from you on it. I'm hiding from my close friends on it. I'm hiding from my family on it. And like I said earlier in my sermon, when I am hiding from you on it, then I am indeed hiding from God on it. And that creates a huge amount of shame. And when shame, which that's another name for the enemy, shame. When that shame gets a hold of you for that long a time, it gets its hooks in very deep. And there are a lot of deep scars. But I don't want to hide anymore. God will not let me hide anymore. God will not let me escape it. And I pray, listen now, I pray that you do not hide any longer either on whatever it is for you. It doesn't have to be something big. It could be something small. But I am convinced we all have something that we're hiding from. And I pray that God gently breaks you on this like he's done for me. And that he will not let you hide anymore. Because, like we've been talking about, God sees it all. He tracks our paths. And not just to point out what's wrong or to force his justice upon us or his will upon us. No, God will not let you run away because he's determined to give you his grace. God is determined to be involved in his children's lives. That's why he never gives up. And this is what David's saying here. David's basically saying, if I could ride on the sunlight, if I could travel at the speed of light to some remote place or bury myself under the mountains or miles under the ocean, even there, God, your hand will lead me. That's guidance. Your right hand will hold on to me and it will never, ever let me go. That's security. So you know what all this means, don't you? It means you are wanted by God. It means you are inescapable from God. Over and over again, we see in the Bible that we are called God's beloved. Isaiah 49:16 says, "Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand." and your walls are continually before me. Over and over again, we see that we are chosen by God. We're cared for by God. Zephaniah 3:17 says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy." And over again, we see that we are loved deeply by God. Jeremiah 3:13, "The Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" So we are going to do something right now in our service that we usually don't do. We're going to have a special response song right now. And I pray that God gets a hold of each one of us right now. And he starts the process and continues the process of change in us. We have to change every single day for the rest of our lives. So if God is speaking to you this morning, please don't hesitate. Don't wait. The enemy wants you to wait. Respond to him. God is right where you are right now. Not when you straighten things up or when you deal with something a little bit more. He's right there with you right now. And God knows the cry of our hearts. But you have to take that first step. Whether it's to walk forward or stand or kneel during the song, will we be real this morning? And don't block out his voice. Trust him. Whatever it looks like, big or small, will you trust him this morning? Again, will we all humble ourselves and be vulnerable in front of each other this morning? I want to tell you something. Being humble and being open, that's not weakness. That's strength. And it doesn't matter what it is, God is ready to walk you through it this morning. And yours will be different from mine, that's for sure. But God is calling us to invite him to open that rusty door and to shine the light on that cellar door. And God is ready to go through this with you today. God has specific plans for you that starts today. So I pray we all have the courage to surrender to him this morning and to not just go through the motions anymore. I want to encourage all of us to let our faith be stronger than our fears. Let your faith be stronger than your fears. So please listen to the song, and I invite you to respond to God right now.